You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Now, I wanted to start this episode of Press X to continue by saying a big congratulations to you. Yes, you. That is the person listening right now, because you have picked a podcast that is always funny and has great content. Not my words, not our words. They're the first words of a review that has been left for us over on Apple Podcasts. And honestly, it means a lot to us to hear that people are really enjoying the show. Because we enjoy making it, so we love the fact that you enjoy listening to it. So sit back and relax and get ready for some more gaming discussion from the podcast that has got you covered, whether you're an experienced player or someone who only dips their toe in from time to time. I'm Stefan Powell, and here with me, as ever, is the good egg comedian and streamer, Einel Tomlinson. Hello, Einel.
Hey, hey. And you know what? Achievement unlocked for that person who left that review on Apple Podcasts. Well
done. Absolutely. Very good.
Kind words.
If you're listening and you haven't left a review yet, it does actually really help us if you do things like that. So if you wouldn't mind, if you're having a nice time, pop along to your local podcast place, be it Spotify or Apple or any other ones, and leave a little 5-star review.
Yep. That Five-star or a thumbs up.
We would love that. So thank you very much to that person and to everybody else who's been doing it as well. Yeah. Right, we have got Shay Thompson with us again this week. Hello, Shay, how are you?
Hello. I just sneezed like twice, like really intensely before I started talking, and I was really worried about what my voice is going to sound like, but we're all good, so it's fine.
We're good. We are recording this. This is how dedicated Shay and Einel and myself are, right, okay, to this podcast and to you, dear listener. It's one of the hottest days of the year today. Mm-hmm. It is glorious out there. The sun is beaming. The hay fever's kicking off, as we can tell.
Killing me. Actually killing me.
Are you on the Loratadine? Is that the one you take?
I think it was Benadryl, no?
The other one? The one that begins
Yeah, there's two, isn't yeah. there? Yeah, there's two hay fever tablets, and you try different ones in case it's not working for you. Anyway, that's how dedicated we are, because we're inside talking to each other about games, not outside chilling in the sun. Yeah. And now, of course, we start every episode with an unpopular opinion. Einel Tomlinson, this week it is your honour to give us an unpopular gaming opinion. Take it away, my friend.
Do you know what? I reckon trading our video games is the worst thing we could have possibly ever have done in the history of gaming. Trading in our games is the worst possible thing. And I'm looking at Shay's face. Stefan's like, what the hell? Look, on the flip, look, granted, I get it. Gaming is expensive, and a lot of us, you know, I want to experience a new game. So you take your old game that you're no longer playing anymore, and you trade it in, and then you get a brand new game, and you have new memories to enjoy. That's great. The issue is, most of us got ripped off like crazy with the games we traded. We traded in like 4 or 5 games, classics, for one game. And it was probably just the latest FIFA update. And that was that. And we traded in our games. We got like £6 for that one, £8 for that one, £4 for that one. And if you look back now and you see how expensive those games are worth now, if we kept them, then what we traded them in for, we would be shaking our heads in shame. Like, I did it. I was at university. I had bills to pay. The gas bill was coming up. I had to trade in the Xbox. For the gas bill? You what? I don't even live there no more.
Yeah.
But I traded in Shenmue 2 on the Xbox, the original Xbox, which came with the remastered graphics, came with the DVD of the Shenmue 1, came with all these special things, gone. That game now is worth a couple hundred pounds. I traded it in to pay my gas bill that probably cost me 20 quid.
Yeah, you know Shamed. What? I mean, it's... I can see where you're coming from, actually, because I'm just looking at... I mean, for people who watch this on social, you see that Einel's got a room where you have... Even though you traded a lot in, you have kept a lot as well. And the memories that brings, there is a nostalgia to that. And we've talked about this before, but the nature of digital ownership and whether we're just old codgers and we like holding on to stuff. But I love the thought of one day when I've got a house that is not, you know, entirely covered in train sets and Toy Story toys, and I have a space that I can call my own again, and that I would have some of those memories of like those old N64 boxes I had, or like, you know, games. But you don't buy games anymore. This is a conversation that in 5 years' time is going to be gone, because we don't need any of this stuff no more.
This stuff is like half of this stuff I bought back.
Have you?
After the years of regret, and I bought back, and I probably like got ripped off buying them back as well. But like, you got like, unlike film and music, like loads of us probably got DVDs that we're never going to watch anymore and stuff like that, and they're not worth anything. If you tried to sell them, like a couple DVDs or things, you ain't getting anything for it on eBay. But if some of these video games right here, I'm quite fortunate enough to own a bunch of video games, right? Where if I slap it onto eBay now, in the condition that I've got it in, I'm getting 500 quid for it easy. And so I'm like, wee. I think back to when I was a kid, I used to keep all my games in pristine condition. When I used to look at the instruction books, I would fold the pages nicely. I wouldn't even write in the notes section on the back of the instruction books. I'm like, nope. Leave that pristine. When I had the games in the cartridges, like, I would put them back into the sleeve, fold it over nicely, put it into the box, perfect condition. And when I was fortunate enough to go to Japan last year, and I went to some of the secondhand gaming shops, and you see the amazing quality of like retro games that they got, and you're like, whoa! And the quality of them is so good. And then you see how much they're charging for it. It's like, I had half of these games.
Yeah.
And I traded them in for a fiver at Electronics Boutique and Game.
What's the CX? That's the one that's out there at the moment, isn't it?
And Game Station.
Yeah, Game Station. If you ever get a chance to go on holiday to Japan, if you're fortunate enough that becomes something that can, you know, those stores are wicked. They are so, because they, you know, you've got some games that have been kept in pristine condition from like 1992, and you're like, wow, that just looks great.
Color hasn't faded or nothing.
No. Crazy. Shay, I do miss, I know, I take Einel's point that we shouldn't have been trading these in, but I do miss the trade-in secondary ownership market in games, because there was something about buying a raw game because it only cost a fiver because it was on the shelf. Like, I remember when PlayStation had platinum games, you know, or things like that.
Yeah.
In fact, I nearly bought, they've recently redone a new version of the sort of top-down strategy sort of stealth game, Commandos. And I can remember buying the original one of that for cheap at a game secondhand. I miss that secondary market. Do you?
Yeah, when I now started that, I was like, what are you saying to me right now? But as you went on,
He's talking from this privileged position. Look at him.
Very much so. Sorry, Mr. 1%. But like being able to go in with the money that I'd save from like skipping lunch so I could go and afford like whatever secondhand games. Like, unfortunately, I did benefit from getting when you traded in your games, thinking, okay, you know, I'll at least get double digits and getting like single digits back, like 8 or 6 quid back. You're kind of I'm going to come back and rob this place. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I had people like threaten that. When I worked at HMV, they'd come and trade their games back. People threatened that because they were like, this is a liberty. And, like, I hear it, but the flip side is that I benefited from that massively. So, yeah. The thing
The markup as well, Shane.
Crazy.
You could trade in a game, get £8 for it. They'll sling it back on the shelf for 20 quid.
Yeah.
I actually got rid of some stuff I had in that. We were moving house and had too much stuff. I gave a lot of away, but there was some stuff I couldn't. So there was like a CX at the bottom of the road. So I just took it just to sort of, because I needed the space. And I remember, I think it was, I can't remember what I had in, like an old controller or something, and it was like a tenner, and it was back up for sale for like 50 quid. It's like, what the hell? The markup on that is wild. What are you doing?
Saw it in the window as you walked by, innit?
Yeah, I said, what the hell is that? Is that mine?
That's yours.
I can see the dent on it. That's mine. How much are you selling that for? What a daylight robbery.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, there's definitely something. Yeah.
We all got robbed. And yes, granted, some of us managed to get some quality, like, secondhand games, like at car boot sale or something, or in a gaming store, and that you probably never would have afforded before, and you played it and you have fantastic memories. But most of us who traded those games in, we got robbed.
Yeah, but I guess you do need to have space. Like you've got a room and you've got shelves and you've got them up on display. You can get them out and have a look. If you know, if you're not in the position where you've got that, they are just going to end up in a box in the attic, right, or under your bed or whatever.
Yep, my mum's brother sold like basically all of my old consoles because of that. Like, it was kind of like I had all of my stuff in like boxes when I moved away. Came back, I was like, "Where are my boxes?" He was like, "Oh, I sold it. It was my old GameCube that had like so many amazing games, and my Xbox that was bought for me as a gift for like getting really good marks on my SATs." I was like, why would you do that? So now I have to like rebuild that collection, and it's gonna cost me my entire life savings.
Grudge
on that.
Oh, you can't talk to that family member anymore.
No.
That's it.
I tell you what, though, this conversation, people may or may not agree with Inel, and let us know what you think. Get involved in the conversation on the Discord or Press X podcast on Instagram, Press X Pod, and Blue Sky and TikTok. This has definitely made me want to start a collection of stuff. Because I gave it all away. I gave away my N64, gave away my PlayStation 1, my PlayStation 2, my PlayStation 3. Gave it all away.
You had them all.
I had them all. I gave them all away, right? Xbox, only the... I always get confused. Xbox One was my first Xbox.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the early Xbox. I was a PlayStation guy. And to that, and N64 as well. But I gave them all away. But now you listen to you talk... I'd love to have an old Mega Drive I could whip out again.
Nintendo old NES with Mario Brothers.
I follow someone on Instagram who puts old clips of like Pro Evolution Soccer from the noughties up. And oh my God, I would love.
Pro Evo 5 was the best one. It peaked there.
You know, I would love to play some more Master League again. Oh, get me in there. Put me in, coach.
I just used to love going in and then just changing all the players' names because it didn't have the license. Yeah. You had to go in, change all the names, and then save it. Make sure you save it.
And you could buy a file to stick on your memory card or whatever to put all the logos and stuff on. Anyway, those are the days. Look, let us know what you think of Inel's unpopular opinion. You know, we should never have traded in our games back in the day. Never. Shouldn't have done it. Let us know what you think. Get involved in the conversation. Now, we've had some other suggestions in on the Discord, which we love. Pathfinder, a few episodes ago, me and Inel sort of wrote down we need to do a sports episode game, which we're going to do. And we talked about, why there aren't enough fantasy sport games, you know, like imagine a new sports created for video games. Pathfinder says Blitzball is the greatest fantasy sports game of all time. Pathfinder, thank you for that, because I'm going to seek that out and I'm going to play it. Because I've picked up Blitzball so many times when I was a kid and never bought it, never played it. So I'm going to try that. So thank you very much for that. And then Yonivi says, as a fan of sports games, a lot, if not most sports games, pale in comparison to the real thing. Tennis games have been dreadful for years, he says, and EAFC is nothing on real football, etc. Interesting stuff. I think, actually, a well-done sports game can be just as good as the real thing.
I agree. I remember when, I think it was Top Spin on the original Xbox came out, a tennis game. And it was one of the first Xbox Live kind of multiplayer sports games. It was incredible. It was incredible. It had a great ranking system. Every time you lost, your rank would go down. And you're like, just one more. I just got to rise up the ranks. He just kept you playing. And it was like, I loved games like that kept that competitive edge, and it kept you kind of training to kind of be the best, and you can have your own custom player. Yeah, I think, like, when it's well done, it's well done.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with Inel. I even loved Virtua Tennis. I loved Virtua Tennis. Virtua Tennis on an arcade. I can remember being on a ferry crossing. We were going somewhere on a school trip. We were on a ferry, and there were kids from three different countries playing Virtua Tennis on this ferry. And it was really great. Everybody loved it. I mean, obviously, I won. I wiped the floor with absolutely everything. It was mercy. No mercy. Okay? Right? I'm probably a pacifist. I'm fairly, you know, soft, mild-mannered, nice fella. I think you guys have known me for a long time now. I think I'm quite, you know, fairly affable. I was taking fools down on Virtua Tennis on this boat trip across the channel to France. No prisoners. Spanish kids, German kids crying.
Anyone can get it.
Because what I did was, because this is how old the game was, I used to play as Tim Henman, serve and volley. Nobody could beat the serve and volley.
And it didn't look like Tim Henman either. I remember.
It looked nothing like him. You try and beat a serve and volleyer, Virtua Tennis, arcades. Lethal it was. Anyway, keep your messages coming in. We'd love to hear from you. Yes, we are going to do a sports episode.
Yeah,
don't know when that is, but we will.
We will.
We will do that soon. So thank you very much. Right then, this week's trivia question. So let's dim the lights then. Let's get the tension in. Let's build that tension and let's play the trivia jingle.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Ooh. There she is. Oh, very moody, very spectacular. Mm. Okay, now if you want to test us, by the way, on trivia, you can do that. You can do it in secret as well. Just pop your question in the Discord where there is a special trivia channel for submissions. The team will see it. Me and Einel don't.
Yeah, we can't see it.
So there's no cheating. I think they're talking about other things in there as well, but whatever.
I think it's more active than any of the other channels.
Yeah. That's where people come to the Discord for, just so they can talk about us on that channel. Yeah. Okay, so the question is this. Which game was the basis of the first ever playable Google Doodle, which was designed for the game's 30th anniversary? So what game was the basis for the first ever playable Google Doodle, which was designed for the game's 30th anniversary? Now, the Google Doodle is the logo on the search engine that's redesigned for something topical. So if you click on it, it'll either tell you like the history of... So for example, on St. David's Day, you click on it, it'll tell you the history of St. David's Day, and usually Google looks like a dragon or something. Well, it was a playable one. The first ever one was designed to tie into a game's 30th anniversary. But the question is, what was the game? Einel, have you got a guess?
I think so. Was it Pac-Man? I feel like I probably played it, but then Google have done so many over the years that they all blend into one now. Like when it first started happening, it used to be something special. Like, whoa, this one's interactive and stuff. It's a full-blown thing. But now they do it all the time, so I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, so currently you have 4 out of 17 correct. I have 1 out of 18.
Hold on, we've not had 17 trivia questions.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger, right? These are hard stats. I've got 1 right. Shay's got 2 right out of only 5. So Shay's got a 40% record, yeah? Shay, what do you think?
I feel like this record is about to go down. I don't know. I want to say it's not Mario, is it?
Okay, Shay's going Mario. I'm going to say Space Invaders. Ooh, no, wait, Space Invaders is too old. Is it too old?
Oh, it's more than 30 years.
But the Google Doodle's been around for a while. Yeah. I'm going to stick with Space Invaders. So Einar's gone Pac-Man. Shay's gone Mario. I've seen Space Invaders. We will bring you the answer, as ever, at the end of the podcast.
I ain't feeling confident
right, Shay,
now. I'll tell you
take
that.
Your mind off. take your mind off Mario, and instead, tell us about Claire Obscure Expedition 33.
Right. So I, as a starting thing, I have really been enjoying playing this game. And when I've spoken to people who don't play video games, and I'm like, oh, I've been playing this game, it's really cool. And they're like, what's the name of the game? And I'm like, oh. Because Clair Obscur Expedition 33 is a mouthful and it doesn't mean anything. So saying that to people, they're like, what are you saying? Like, these are just made up words. You are saying anything.
It doesn't make any sense. Let's cut to the chase. It's a rubbish title.
Horrible title. Really bad.
So it's a rubbish title for a game.
But a horrible title for a wonderful game. I really enjoy playing this video game. It is...
Yeah, so what is it? For people who've got no idea what we're talking about, A, because the name doesn't make any sense, and B, they don't know about the game. What is it?
It is a French role-playing game. People have been calling it a French JRPG. I'm like, I feel like the J means something there. It means Japanese. So, it kind of can't be that. It's an RPG, kind of, is it Belle Epoque? Inspired, very French, very classically French in a lot of ways. The game starts out and the people kind of living in this, I guess it's like an island called Lumière, are under the threat of what's called a gommage, which is once you kind of reach a certain age, people get wiped out. There's like this entity called the Paintress, who is the one who's kind of like the catalyst for this, right? She kind of paints a number and then people who are that age pass away. And so your team or your expedition is the one kind of tasked with stopping it. And that's the kind of basis of the game. It has a very, very cool voice cast. You'll recognize some people from Baldur's Gate, like Jennifer English, Ben Starr is in it. But then you also have like some heavier hitters, because, the two voice actors that I just mentioned are heavy hitters in and of themselves. Andy Serkis, your man from Lord of the Rings, is in it. As is Charlie Cox. He's like the main character. So yeah, it's got like all of these different like elements to it. And I kind of thought, oh, okay, this was supposed to be like an indie or a double A title, but it's got some weight behind it. And like all of that is like kind of compelling enough. But then you get onto the gameplay. I thought when everyone was talking about like how good the game was, I was kind of like, oh, like whatever, like it'll be fine. But I have to say I'm having such a good time playing this. And it's because it kind of comes down to when you play like an RPG, like a turn-based RPG, maybe other people don't have this, but I kind of have this thing where I almost turn my brain off, right? It gets to a point where I know that X enemy, if it's like weak to ice, let's say, I can just spam it with ice and it'll die, right? But there is like an added layer because you have parrying and dodging kind of at the heart of the combat. So you have to really pay attention to the patterns of the enemies so you can time your dodges or your parries if you're that good. I thought, I'm someone that has pretty good rhythm. I can do a two-step in the dance. I can learn some choreography if I need to.
There she is.
This taught me that my timing is not that great. It's really not good. Sometimes, like, what's really satisfying about it is, like, learning the enemy's patterns and then being able to hit those dodges or those parries like perfectly. And if you hit the parry perfectly, you do such cool counterattacks, and it feels meaty and weighty. Like it's a game that I've like really, really enjoyed playing, and I can't say that that's been the experience recently with some other games that I've played.
I know you've had a little dabble of it as well. Are you as enthusiastic as Shay clearly is?
I don't think I'm as enthusiastic. I think the game is fantastic. I don't think I've put in enough hours to really enjoy it, if that makes sense. I'm still only like 6-7 hours in, and so I'm still basically prologue. The main thing of the game has happened, and I'm set on my way for the main quest. But I will say, if you are going to play this game, you got to play this game on performance mode for the reasons that Shay was saying. You got to get those timings right. You can't play on quality mode. You can't play the 30 frames per second. You need the 60. You need that verbal refresh rate. You need to make sure you're tapping the button on time. Because I first tried to play this game on Game Pass on my TV. Because I got like Game Pass on the TV. The Xbox have like an app there. And I thought, oh, I'll play it on there. Don't have to install it. But because of the lag issue there in terms of making sure the timing is right, I was like, nope, I got to install this. Installed it and had a way better time with the combat. But yeah, it's really fun. I liken it to games like Lost Odyssey, if anyone remembers that on the Xbox 360. Really fun, kind of, well, not fun, but like it has that bleak nature, even though the environments are so lush and beautiful to look at. All the characters are going through some really troubling things, and I think that's what I really enjoy about it. Very story focused for those that are really into a meaty story. But yeah, I'd liken the combat to Lost Odyssey meets Mario RPG. If you've played
Okay, yeah,
because in terms of like the timings and defending and the dodging and things, it's very similar to that. But I'm aware that the combat changes later on in the game, but I haven't got that far yet. But initial impressions, really cool, especially for like a indie or a AA type of game. For the quality that this game like exudes is, oh, that's like, whoa, it feels AAA.
Yeah, it looks beautiful from what I've seen. There's a lot of chatter about this game around, gone around it. You know, this is really interesting for me in terms of like the bigger picture of how we end up choosing games to play and what games cut through to like bigger or broader audiences beyond people who spend a lot of time reading gaming websites or whatever. This one seems to be doing that, and it's sort of an example of how you get the right people talking about it at the right time. There's a nice gap in the market. It's kind of a bit of a quiet time. People are looking for something to play. It comes along. It looks beautiful. Mm. And it just seems to have hit a bit of a sweet spot, hasn't it, Shay? And it's got a Metacritic score of 92. So super, super high. What would your recommendation be to people? Buy it now? Wait till it's on sale? Clearly you're not going to say skip it completely if
no,
you can.
No, definitely. I would say get it on Game Pass, but download it, because that's what I did. Like, so it's downloaded like to my PC. you'll have like a really good time with it. I will say, I spoke very highly of it, so I feel like I can do this now. The story, I'm like, it's a bit of a head scratcher in some places. I'm kind of like, what is everyone raving about? But maybe things will kind of get like revealed later on. But I will say like everything else like really hits the mark. Like the music is fantastic. The music is so good. I'm always like kind of having the score in my head, which is like the sign of a really good soundtrack for me. It looks great. So,
and I think what is interesting, Shay, is that we've been calling for this sort of game for a long time. We really enjoyed Space Marine 2 in that sort of double A space, we used to call it. So games that come out that have got like a lead in development time of a few years, they turn up, they do what they say what they're going to do, they do it very well, and they move on. And sort of, because that was before, in the old days, you have indie games, double A games and triple A games, and the middle ground sort of died away. Well, hopefully the success of games like Space Marine 2 and this will mean we see more games like this that feel triple A, but have the limitations of scale, which means that companies don't have to think, oh, I have to make a 100-hour game or bust. No, games like this can make money, and they're good.
Oh, and you know what? I'm doubly impressed, because this game came out the day after Oblivion. Just Shadow dropped.
Shadow
dropped one of the biggest RPGs of all time that people absolutely adore the day before. And I'm like, oh, you're having a laugh. It's game over. But no, these guys went on to sell millions of copies, even though it's on Game Pass. So, like, props to them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good reviews. Good game.
So, big up there for Claire Obscura. Although, change the name. Just call it Expedition 33, Claire.
Expedition 33, man. Does come on. Jeez. Horrible.
Just call it Expedition. It must be a translation thing. Was it written originally in French, and then and maybe the English translation is not... Whatever. Expedition 33, 42 quid on Steam, 42 quid on Xbox, or like Shay says, it's on Game Pass, 45 quid on the PS Store, and £48 on Amazon. Right, we're going to be talking about an old feature in a moment, but first, let's get the latest on GTA 6.
The Press X to continue, GTA 6 update.
You're telling me I waited 6 months doing these GTA 6 updates to get two pieces of information 2 weeks in a row, and then back to nothing? Are you serious?
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 updates.
Are we
we did have lots of news last week, didn't we? So it was probably a bit much to expect more news this soon. Now, we're just going to talk about this briefly before we wrap up. Defender, GoldenEye, 007, Quake and Tamagotchi have all been inducted into the Strong Museum's Video Game Hall of Fame, which is very similar to the Press X to Continue Hall of Game from back in the day.
I think they're actually listeners of the previous, I'm thinking.
Yeah, you know, it's very similar to a feature we had when this podcast was first born, and that you might have listened to if you've listened to a couple of
games that we had in there.
GoldenEye's in there. Maybe we will actually, Shay. Maybe we will take legal action.
Maybe we will bring it back. But Shay's like, nah, soon.
Yeah, so we haven't gone back to the Hall of Game in the rebooted series yet. We might do that again in the future. I think we're going to need to sit down.
We're in a bit of a case.
We'd love to, but we've got a court case ongoing. We need to sit down and sort of tidy up a bit. It's got a bit messy in there by the end. Too many games and everything. But any of those, I mean, we had some of those in our, so very good. But Tamagotchi got me. Did you have a Tamagotchi, Shay?
I did. And I took that thing everywhere. It was kind of embarrassing when I look back on it, just looking like a massive nerd. But yeah, I loved that little thing. I really did. I really took care of it.
I loved the Tamagotchi as well.
Make them. They haven't stopped. I thought, they stopped in the 90s when we all stopped playing with them. They've not stopped. Every year there's been new Tamagotchis.
Still going.
Mm-hmm.
All this sort of, and it sort of ties in with some of the comments we've been having in with Discord, and also ties into Einel's unpopular opinion, actually. So Champagne Perry said, I used to take multiplayer games to sleepovers with me. Oh, yes, those were the days. I started collecting only physical games, and even now I'm buying old 6th, 8th generation games because, in his opinion, or their opinion, digital games are no better than NFTs.
See?
So clinging on to the physical ownership there, very good. Snufkin wrote, I need to hit up car boot sales now because the weather's improving and hope there is someone there who's cleared out the attic and doesn't know what the games are worth. So yeah, both of them on board with Einel's unpopular opinion and with the growth of Tamagotchi because of its inclusion in that Hall of Fame. And let us know, we are going to think about what to do with our Hall of Game because we do need to bring it back and tidy it up at some point.
We'll dust it out. There's a couple of games in there that shouldn't be in there.
They can be tossed out. I think, Steph, it's time for you to put your gatekeeping hat on and thin the herd a bit, honestly.
Yeah, do it. Cut it down.
It'll be like three games in there.
Yeah. And on that note, the Spotify playlist, we're still adding things now and again to the Spotify playlist. The Press X Ultimate Gaming Playlist, that's what it's called. It's as catchy, it's almost as catchy as Claire Obscure Expedition 33. That is in a shame. Have you got anything else for me to listen to and then potentially add?
You know what? I was like, I'm making a video at the moment about video game music. I don't know. Do we have any Kingdom Hearts tracks?
No, we don't.
No, we got Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I've
got the tone of that going down. No, we don't. And I want to keep it that way. But I was, you know what? This game, I have a whole thing about guilty pleasures, right? And I feel like that's one of them for me. But the music in Kingdom Hearts is actually really good. Like Yoko Shimomura, she got a BAFTA fellowship for her work on Street Fighter and Kingdom Hearts. So, it's good stuff. I think I always think of Dearly Beloved. It's just it's a very chill, almost, it's got a nostalgic and kind of sad element to it, but it's very well made. And then it's a motif that kind of comes through with the rest of the soundtrack. It's really good.
Thanks. While she's adding, can I add one as well?
Absolutely, go for it.
Yeah. Birdman from Pilot Wing 64. It's proper jazzy, proper chilled out. It's the music that plays when you've unlocked the special suit of a Birdman that you can just fly around.
Wait, say that again. Birdman from what?
Birdman. Pilot Wing 64.
My phone's on a meltdown. Man. There we are. Pilot Wing.
think the movie, Birdman.
Great movie.
It was a good movie, yeah.
Oh, here we are. This one.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, now, are you running some sort of late night club, mate? Is there something seedy you got on your nightclub? Oh, hello.
Yeah.
What sort of joint is this?
I can just imagine, like, plush furniture everywhere. It's the kind of vibe.
Wipeable furniture. Very nice. Thank you very much for that suggestion, Angel.
Don't tell me you ain't grooving to that. You're grooving to that.
It's definitely producer.
That was a launch title for the N64.
There is definitely a business deal being done in that bar, whatever it is. Look, if you want to find the playlist, then just search Spotify for the Press X to Continue Ultimate Gaming Playlist. And you can follow it there. And if you'd like to suggest tracks to add, then you can do that in the Discord. Right, the answer to this week's trivia question. Which game was the basis of the first ever playable Google Doodle designed for the game's 30th anniversary? And the answer is... Pac-Man!
Oh, was it? Come on, add it to the board!
Hell yeah!
Nice board, one. It also had the game sounds in there, and the I'm Feeling Lucky button on the Google homepage was replaced with Insert Coin. And you can still play it by this day for search for Google Doodle Pac-Man.
So oh, there we are. I didn't
very
know
good.
That.
That's cool. Very good. Right, that is it for this episode of Press X. To continue, don't forget to get involved by messaging on Press X Pod or Press X Podcast on the socials. And you can find us on Discord as well. Please do that. And we will have another retro episode for you on Thursday. And then we're going to be back on Tuesday for more fun. So until then, bye-bye.
See ya.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.